And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll see in the notes in Partnership News that the book of Deuteronomy is split, and you could say it's split into three sermons. And the passage from Deuteronomy we had read today comes from the third sermon, the third section, which is the shortest. Given a comment that Charlie made last week about length of sermons and needing to keep them reasonably short in communion services, I think there was a clue there, so I shall try to take the model of the third piece of Deuteronomy and be reasonably crisp, having wasted a minute just telling you I'm going to be reasonably crisp. Now, you might think it's strange that as the Israelites are just on the brink of moving into the promised land, that Moses, you know, says to them, "Sir, do you want life and prosperity, or do you want death and destruction?" Because, you know, if we put that to the vote, probably not a lot of people are going to go for death and destruction. Most people would go for the life and prosperity option. But the reason Moses asks the question is that actually choosing life and prosperity as the move into the promised land implies with it there has to be a maturity and a steadfastness about the faith that the Israelites will display. And to be honest, in all the wanderings in the wilderness, this has not been their strong suit. And so you can understand why Moses is asking the question and putting before them the choices, because there are some responsibilities that will come with that choice for life and prosperity. It demands a maturity of a faith that, you know, they can, with God, look after themselves, as it were. And that maturity of faith, of that covenant relationship with God and living that out, is something too that Paul picks up in his letter, in all of his letters, but particularly in the reading we had today from Corinthians, and says, focus on that relationship with God through Christ, and not with the messenger, whether that's myself or whether it's Apollos, that brings the message to you. It's not about debate and the finer points of the law. It's about that true covenant relationship with God. And so it's not surprising if we see that relationship with God as underpinning not just the Old Testament but the New Testament, that it comes up in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. It comes up in the beginning of all the Gospels, but particularly in Matthew's Gospel. And if you think of the parallels, Matthew has Jesus coming up out of the wilderness of temptation. He has him coming up out of the waters of baptism and inaugurating that new relationship, that new covenant with God that we've seen in the Old Testament. So he parallels it. And in the reading today is from the Sermon on the Mount. We're all familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. And it starts off with the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are those, the meek shall inherit the earth. It then goes on in the passage that the bishop preached on last week, talking about being the salt and light of the earth, and how our righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees. And then it goes on to the passage that we had, read for us today, which actually explains some of the pieces that have just gone before in that Sermon on the Mount, which is about that covenant relationship with God and what that really means. Because in the passage today, which is apparently technically known as the sixth antithesis, because it starts off six little passages which say, "You have heard it say, but I say to you." And what Jesus is doing as he explains that, he's saying, "You have heard it said, And then typically there's a piece of teaching either from the Ten Commandments or from some of the general law that we see in the Old Testament, or even from some of the pieces which actually are not in the Old Testament law but are implied by it. He says, "You've heard it said, but I say to you." And what he's saying is that you've heard it said, this is what the law says, but actually this is how you live it out. And it's in living out that what Jesus teaches, that our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. Because what Jesus is saying is, the Pharisees have been teaching about the law, about the minutiae of the law, about following it to the letter, but actually it hasn't made, in that sense, a difference to their hearts and their minds and their lives. It's been obedience to the law without seeing the law as the means to the end, which is the covenant relationship with God. And it says we live out our lives the way God intended, not just by some slavish obedience of ticking boxes of yes, coming to church, yes, praying, yes, whatever, but by living that out in our lives, that our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And what Jesus does as he goes through that teaching is he gives examples of what that means. That's what Jesus is talking about in this piece of the Sermon on the Mount. What it really means to live out that covenant relationship with God through him as our Saviour, that Moses talked about in Deuteronomy, that underpins the Bible. What it means in reality, not just what it means in our heads. And Matthew goes to some lengths to point that out. It's about how does that affect our hearts and our lives, not just our minds. But as we see the things that Jesus talks about, it's actually in the Sermon on the Mount, and the things he talks about here are not just some teaching. It's not just a teaching sermon. What Jesus lays out and what Matthew lays out for us in the Sermon on the Mount is a blueprint for Jesus' life. It's a foretelling of some of the things that will happen in Jesus' life. He talks about thou shalt not kill, and yet Jesus' own death is instigated by those people who were teaching thou shalt not kill. He talks about giving away your cloak. Jesus' clothes were taken from him when he was crucified. He talks about forgiving your enemies. As he is on the cross, he forgives those who not only just agree with him, but those who have crucified him. All through his life and ministry, Jesus works for reconciliation and building up of community. And yet, there is a sense in which the slavish obedience to the law had broken down communities. And so as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, yes, it absolutely is teaching us the way that we should live, showing us how our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees by being transformed by Christ's love and not just following a book of rules. But it's a prophetic statement of what Jesus is about, what it means, what the example is when the law is completely fulfilled, when the Messiah has come and that law is fulfilled. That's what we see in the Sermon on the Mount. It calls for that maturity of faith, that steadfastness, that single-mindedness, obedience to Christ that lets us choose life. But it shows that through the Sermon on the Mount, we will not go through anything that Christ himself has not encountered. Jesus asks nothing more of us than he's been through himself. But he also asks nothing less. Amen.